Numbers chapter 14 tonight. Go there with me. Boy, another special. What a blessing. Numbers chapter 14. Appreciate, guys, the hard work and the practice you put into that. Wonderfully done. And a great way to introduce and prepare our hearts for the message tonight. You know that about specials, right? It's not a concert, right? Where we come to church and, all right, amuse me. Okay. No. That's not what a special for. Okay. A special is not so we can you know, necessarily look at the person and say, well, thank you, you know, for playing that for me. You know, I think you did pretty well there. Okay, no, that's not. All right, no, a special, it's worship to God. As these guys are ministering unto the Lord, we have the benefit of to listen and to also be thinking about the words. Much of what is played and sung are hymns that we know, whether it's on the piano or it's on an instrument or even something that's sung up here. I try, and I hope that you do as well, be thinking about the message of the song. You know, not just, well, listen to the harmony, and that's neat, or listen to how quickly he does that run, or, you know, those things are neat for sure, but the reason that we have specials is to direct our hearts and prepare our hearts for worship and point us to the Lord. So, always appreciate hearing you guys participate in the specials that we have at Teen Time. Numbers chapter 14. I'm excited about this message tonight because that this particular thought, regardless of what book that we are in, could almost be repeated in every single book of the Bible. And as we get going tonight, we're going to be primarily in Numbers chapter 14. I'll be referencing some other passages, but sort of by introduction, I ran across this illustration that's somewhat humorous, but I think it sets up the thought well tonight. An old sailor repeatedly got lost at sea, so his friend gave him a compass, and he urged him to use it. The next time he went out in his boat, he followed their advice and took the compass with him. But, as usual, he became hopelessly confused and was unable to find land. Finally, he was rescued by his friends. Disgusted and impatient with him, they asked, "Why didn't you use the compass we gave you? You could have saved us and everyone else a lot of trouble." The sailor responded, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north. But as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept pointing southeast." The old sailor was certain he knew which way was north, but he stubbornly tried to force his own personal persuasions on his compass, and able to do so, tossed it aside as worthless and failed to benefit from the guidance it offered. You know, we can sometimes be just as stubborn. Now, we don't have a compass that we walk around, you know, referencing, you know, time and time again, but we do have the Word of God. That directs our lives and more often than not answers the question about which direction we should go. I see in Numbers chapter 14, I see here a vivid lesson in seeking the will of God. Now let me say this. This is a type of message that you and I could stand to benefit from hearing once every 6 months. And here's the reason why. You know, as you get older and as you progress, especially through high school, your life just dramatically changes. Those who come into the youth group have a very different perspective on things than those who are headed out of the youth group before too long. How many of you would agree with that? Okay, some of the upperclassmen. Actually, I came in thinking about college, Harvard. Okay, and the reason is because there's a whole lot of maturity happens during that time, and goal setting and vision, and you get to be a senior and just like, turn me loose, I'm ready, let's go. And that's why messages on seeking the will of God, being in tune with God's will for my life, is very important. Because whether you feel like this is something that you need right at this moment, believe me, you are going to run into situations where you are going to need to travel back to a blueprint like this that will help you see more clearly in the days to come. I want you to see here in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 14 to gain a little bit of context. Let's notice verse 1. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Oh, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us out of this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be as prey, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They said one to another, Let us make us a captain. Let us return into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." Now, this is the reaction of the report that is given when the spies, 12 spies, went into the land of Canaan that was promised to them. They go out by the land, they're there for 40 days, they come back, they make some positive statements, but ultimately 10 of them give a poor report. A story that most of us would be very familiar with this evening. But I want us to notice a couple of things, really three things this evening that I think are imperative for us as we, whether it be on a daily basis or whether it be sort of a bird's eye vision for our future, seek the will of God for our lives. Notice number one as we move through this thought systematically. I want you to see the right desire for following the will of God. Okay? The right desire for following the will of God. Now, God had told them already what His will was for them. Okay? I don't feel like we need to belabor that thought. God had clearly said, "This is your land. I'm giving it to you. All you need to do is get a little organized, spy it out, and we're going to go at it together, and I'm going to give you this land." Obviously, they come back with a poor report. The people begin to react to this. But notice specifically the two different types of reaction in this regard. Notice the right desire for following the will of God. I want you to see a picture of the right desire. And we see this here in verse 6. Notice the righteous desire or the right desire in verse 6. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." So you really have two different pictures here of something that's happening. Now, what you will notice is that there are two different desires that are at odds here. One is Caleb and Joshua, who have a desire at any cost to follow the will of God. That is their goal, no matter what. Now they have traveled and seen the giants. They have traveled and seen some of these cities. They've traveled and seen the walls, just like the other 10 did. But again, at the core of who they are, they have a strong desire that is not going to be deterred by anything. And you see the tenderness of their hearts toward this. What do? Well, the Bible says in verse 6, it says, they searched out the land, but they rent their clothes. What's happening? Well, they're seeing the response of those who say, "Boy, I'm not interested in doing what God wants here. I just heard the report, and let me just tell you, I'm not excited about this at all." And they're responding to that. They cannot, as followers of Jehovah God, they cannot wrap their mind around how somebody would not have a desire to follow the Lord. I love their desperation in this. And many of you know, and if you don't know, newsflash, I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. All right? And I've been with them a long time. Those of you who think I'm bandwagon, I'm not. And grew up in the area. And those of you who are Brady haters, you know, it is what it is. I will say this. I was interested in attending the Super Bowl. I was. I contemplated a bit. In fact, when they clinched the you know, the qualified for the Super Bowl, I did get online and price the tickets. Now, has anybody priced the tickets? Does anybody know? So I got in, got on just hours after they beat the Green Bay Packers, and I got on there and I said, okay, well, what's the price? And the price at the time was $8,800 and a few dollars, okay, per ticket. Okay, yeah. Now that at that point I was like, okay, that's a little out of my budget. But I'll tell you this, I started thinking about, now the price has fluctuated, it goes up and down because of people selling, buying and selling, that sort of thing, and it has come down a little bit, it's only five something now, okay? But you have to ask the question, who are buying these tickets? Okay? Okay, Alec. Yeah, rich people. That is exactly who comes to mind, alright? These are people who have a lot of money and who, you know, just, you know, okay, 8,000 bucks, whatever, I'm gonna go to the Super Bowl, it's gonna be an awesome time, okay? I think there's a lot of wealthy people who are spending money on this, but I gotta tell you this. I think that there are some average Joes who are taking their, whatever, their life savings. What did I say? What was it? Joe. It's just a funny name. Okay. Alright, I think there's some average people that are just fanatics, right? They maybe live in a trailer. Maybe they don't make much money, but they are throwing everything to the front and saying, hey, my team is in the Super Bowl, I am going, no matter what that costs me, even if I have to sell a kid or two, okay? Now listen, there are people like that in the world, and that's really what a fanatic is, somebody who just is, you know, crazy for a particular sports team, okay? But what's happening there? Somebody who has a desperate desire to do something, even to the point of an extreme. Okay, if I could draw a parallel back here, that's the type of desire that Joshua and Caleb have in regards to following God's will. It's night and day difference for Caleb and Joshua. They, again, cannot wrap their mind around why these 10 other spies are not speaking with words of faith and do not have the type of desire that they do. Let me just tell you this, that all of us as Christ followers should have a desire to follow His will. We should. And as I look at this, I see two very different pictures. Notice the picture now of these other folks, and you can see it in verse 1. We've already read it. Look at their reaction. Okay, two different reactions here. Caleb, Joshua, a tender heart. They want to do the Lord's will. Look what's happening with the people. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the whole people wept that night. The people, in contrast, were filled with sadness. We can look at that. The thought of doing what the Lord wanted caused them great grief. Now, why would somebody, in knowing what God's will is, whether it's general or specific, why would someone not desire to follow God's will? I want you to think about that for a second, okay? And I'm going to let you answer in just a second, but why would somebody not have the heart of Caleb and Joshua that says, you know what, I'm willing to follow the Lord. I want the Lord to lead my life. And I want to seek His will and know what that is. Why wouldn't somebody take that approach? Let's get some response here. Yes. Okay. All right. May not be what everybody else thinks is cool. Yes. Okay, all right, very good. Something they may have to give up. They feel like they would have to give up. Yes. Fear of the unknown. Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Yes, Sophie? Okay, all right, very good, very good. These are good. Okay, right? Yep. Okay. I think these are great. Let me give you a few that I wrote down. Sometimes people assume that doing God's will is for super spiritual people. Like, you know, somebody who's going into the ministry or a pastor, well, you know, they follow God's will and God tells them what that is. Okay. Sometimes we think that super spiritual people are the ones whom God mysteriously reveals His will for their life to. Okay. Obviously, that's a mistake, especially because of how often the Lord tells us things that are His will and imparts that to just Christians in general. In fact, Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says this, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Paul was speaking in general to Christians. Another reason, doing God's will is only for people who are willing to be unhappy the rest of their lives. Now, I don't know why sometimes we have these thoughts. But we think that if we totally avail ourselves to God's will and say, "Lord, I want you to lead me in a plain path and I want to do your will," somehow we get the idea that the Lord is going to make us miserable in that. Or that somebody else's life who has been maybe gone through difficulty and it has been hard is somehow going to be a reflection of our life if we choose to do so. And I think the response from you guys tonight illustrates that the devil can use all kinds of fears to bring us to a point where when we think of the will of God or the possibility of following His will for our lives, we become almost saddened by the thought of doing it. That was the response of these people. They became sad. They're weeping, the Bible says, and they're lifting up their voice and they wept that night. So we see the right desire. Listen, if you want to follow God's will for your life, this is step one. And that is, Lord, I want to. Lord, I want to do what you would have me to do, Lord. Whether that's specifically in regards to my occupation one day, in regards to who you want me to marry specifically, anything specifically. And Lord, even in general, Lord, I want you to show me how to live. But can I tell you this, that you're not going to find yourself in the will of God from day to day if you have no desire to be in God's will. Because you will find very quickly that something else will direct your life. And we'll see that later on. But notice the first thing, the right desire for following the will of God was illustrated here by Caleb and Joshua. Not only this, but notice those who seek the will of God ask the right questions. Look at verse 8 here. Notice this is back to Caleb and Joshua, Numbers 14 and verse 8. And let's go to verse 7 first. "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." I want you to drop back a couple of verses to the response of the people and the questions that they are asking. Look at verse 2. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness," verse 3, "and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" There are two different styles of questions that are happening here. Two very different contradicting statements. You know, when follow with me here, if my kids come to me or I go to them and I say, "Listen, I would like you to do this." Okay. And they look at me and they say, "Why do I have to do that?" Okay, now tell me, is that the same thing as them responding over here by saying, "Hey, Dad, how can I help?" Is it the same message? No. What are they saying over here when they say, do I really have to do that? What are they really saying? They're saying, "I don't want to do that." Okay, I mean, it's a question, right? I mean, it's just asking a question, but. But really, there's more to it than just a question. They're sort of answering their own question, like, "Dad, that this isn't something that I really want to be a part of. On the other hand, though, when they come and they say, how can I help? What kind of message is that sending? Now, what is it? I want to do it. Hey, Dad, look, this is, how can I help out with this situation? It's telling me something about their attitude. It's telling me something about their spirit, their will. And they are willing to be part of what is happening. Now, notice that the same thing is going on here. Joshua and Caleb are merely saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? If it's in the land of promise, Lord, I'm there. Lord, I will be there. But on the other side of things, you have the children of Israel who are making a big stink. And they're saying, Lord, what, you just want us all to die? I mean, you just want me to perish right here and all our children and all our wives and all our, sort of sarcastically throwing things out. Caleb and Joshua are asking the right questions that pertain to what God has said. And they reference that. Hey, God has given us this land. Which leads me to my first thought in regards to asking the right questions. The right questions begin with asking what commands God has given. What commands has God given? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I love to hear those pages turning. It lets me know that you're listening and you're with me. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go here with me. And this really gets down to the nuts and bolts of, okay, well, what does following God's will for my life look like? And Joshua and Caleb are pointing back to this. They're pointing back to God's commandments. Hey, hold on. Before we try to go rogue here, Israel, and do our own thing and carve a new path, actually, that's counterproductive to what God wants us to do, let's ask the question, what has God already said? And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 4 what God has already said in regards to his commands. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 12. Notice what it says. Bible says, and the Lord spake unto you, this is Moses speaking, out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And then verse 13, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone. This is merely God's command to the children of Israel. When God said, listen, I've got special plans for you, But you're going to have to obey me in the things that I've already told you to do. Okay, it's not rocket science. And the same could be true for you and I as we seek God's will for our lives. We have the benefit of having his commandments right here all the time and having access to them. And so I don't need to ask the question, hey, should I pursue a career path that's going to have me working every Sunday and never be able to be a part of the New Testament church? Well, the Lord's already answered that. It's part of his commands. I don't have to ask the question, hey, is it wrong for me to view pornography? Is it wrong for me to be part of fornication? Well, no, I don't have to ask that question. I don't have to ask, is it God's will? Why? Well, because God's already explained it to us. He's given it to us in a commandment. So, it starts with a desire. Okay. It then goes to asking the right questions. And a part of those questions is asking, Lord, what have you already said? And that's what Joshua and Caleb are doing. Well, they're just going systematically down. Hey, I know there's some confusion right now about our future, but can we just go back to what God already actually addressed this? He already told us what we need to do next. And it begins with your commandments, but also obey God's, not only his commandments, but obey God's authority. If you notice in the same passage, look at verse 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Lord addresses this as well. And the Lord commanded me, this is Moses speaking, at the time to, what's the next word? Thank you, very well. We're 4:14, Deuteronomy, as some of you have gone to sleep, okay? To teach your statutes and your judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. You know what God is doing? God is saying this. Listen, you want to do my will, just follow my commandments. Just listen to what I'm trying to tell you to do. Number two, I want you to listen to Moses. Okay? I'm going to lead through Moses when it comes to things outside of my commandments. Moses is the guy that you need to listen to and that you need to keep your eyes on. But what is God doing here? He's simply saying this. Look, a part of following my will is not only listening to me, but it's listening to authority. And let me tell you, this is such a blessing. At this point in your life, you have the blessed ability to be able to lean on your parents in regards to their counsel and their direction for your life. Boy, listen, don't scoff at that. Okay, don't look at that and say you wish that you didn't have that type of accountability. Let me tell you, there are people tonight all over this world who have parents that could care less about them. That who do not believe in God. That who just allow their kids to do whatever. And let me tell you, God leads through the parents that you have. He does. And can I tell you, there's nothing more relaxing to be able to take a situation to your mom and dad and say, you know what, I don't know what the right thing is here. Mom, dad, what do you think? And for them to be able to say, you know what, here's something maybe you haven't thought about. I think maybe you need to go off this way. You know what that does? You just allowed God's process to work in your life, and you can take the responsibility off yourself and say, you know what, Mom, Dad, thank you. I'm going to do what you guys suggested because God will lead through you. And I know that wherever the decision goes, I know He's going to bless me for listening to you. Listen, I'll tell you, when I was younger in my teenage life, I did not use this principle as much. But I'll tell you, when I got older, the more and more the Lord opened my eyes to how special that relationship can be. So what's He telling us? He's telling us, listen, the commands of the Lord are really important. You want to follow God's will? Read the book. Find out what He says about life. Number two, listen to authority. Listen to your parents. Pick their brain, ask their counsel, seek their wisdom, and the Lord leads through our godly authority. Also this, and I want to point this out. I know our time's getting away from us. I don't have time to read this. Exodus chapter 13, this is the third part. Not only commandments, not only authority, but also obeying God's leadings. You know what the Lord did for the children of Israel? He put a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud to lead them. Okay? When it was time for them to move, okay, they knew the direction they were going, but when it was time to go from this portion to the next portion, and Moses would see that, everybody moved according to the presence of those pillars, and they kept their eyes on that. And you say, well, what is that in our lives? Well, that can be answered prayer. That can be circumstances. But when God works in such a way that you see that He has His hand on something, hey, you know, I saw the Lord do that in choosing a career path for myself. I saw the Lord line things up, situations, circumstances, to the point where I could not say that anybody else was doing it but God. And we have to be able to recognize that. Okay, now that doesn't mean that you throw the commandments and you throw what your parents say out the window and you just say, well, this funny thing happened to me, therefore I'm going to go do that. No, no, no. It all builds upon itself and it's all part of the process. So obeying God's commandments, obeying God's authority, and then obeying God's leading. It starts with the right desire. It starts with by asking the right questions. But I want you to see this. I want you to see this as we go. The people, go back with me to Numbers. This is important. We don't have the time to draw all this out, but I just want to mention it in passing. Notice the questions the people are asking in verse 2 of chapter 14. Stay with me. We're almost done. Chapter 14 of verse 2 says the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, the whole congregation. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, fall by the sword, so forth. And so on. They said one to another, let us make us a captain. Let us return to Egypt. They're scoffing at the Lord's will here. But what's happening? They're fighting against their authority. Okay, this is the opposite of what Joshua and Caleb are doing. Joshua and Caleb are saying, hey, this is what God said. Hey, this is what Moses has said. Hey, The pillar is still here. It's not leading us back to Egypt. And the people on the other side are saying, hey, let's not listen to what God said. Hey, let's not listen to what Moses said. Hey, let's just go. And there's a stark contrast that's taking place here, and the outcome could not be any more amazing. Look with me, number three. Not only does it start with the right desire, it starts by asking the right questions, but then also we see the results of following God's will. And I'm telling you, if you can preach it out of Numbers, you can preach it out of any book of the Bible, it always happens the same way. I want you to see this. Notice with me. Let's go to, I'm having to trim some here. Just give me a second. Let's go to verse 10. Numbers chapter 10, or Numbers 14, verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation for all the children of Israel. What you have here is Joshua and Caleb making a decision to follow God's will. And what comes from following that? In verse 10, we see that God's protection was upon them. They are literally standing against everybody else. People are picking up stones to start hurling them in their direction. And what does God do? The glory of God comes down on the tabernacle and stops everything. You know what they got from choosing God's will? The result of that? Well, they got God's protection. What would they later get? They would later get God's prosperity. Chapter 14 and verse 30. Look at verse 30. Down a few. Doubtless, this is the Lord talking to Moses, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save who? Caleb and Joshua. What happened here? Well, God's not only protecting them, but he's also giving them prosperity. You go to the book of Joshua. He's leading the charge, victory after victory, and they would claim the land for sure. But that's just simply a result of seeking the will of God, doing it and pursuing it daily. But notice the reverse. Okay, notice the other outcome. And this is what comes from unfollowing the Lord, if we could say it there. Look at verse 39. Okay, this is the outcome for these people. And Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Okay, he's told the tidings. They're not going into the land now. God is judging them because of their unbelief and their unwillingness. They're going to stay in the desert, and they're going to be there for 40 years. Verse 40, and they rose up early in the morning and got them into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Notice Moses' response. And he said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go now up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. Verse 44, but they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. What's happening with one? Well, they became barred from blessing. Okay, well, what happened? They chose their own way. They chose their own path. And what's happening? God says, you know what? You've gotten to a place where I can't give you my best now. You know that land that I promised? And, well, guess what? Your kids are going to be able to go in, but I've got to bar you from blessing. Let me tell you, it's all throughout the Word of God. It always happens this way. And that's always going to be the case when we don't seek God's will for our lives. They became barred from blessing. They isolated themselves from God's presence. Now, verse 42, Moses says, listen, if you go up, which they're trying to, hey, look, let's go into the land. I know God said not to, but now we want to go, and so we're going to. Moses said, look, if you go, you're going by yourself. God is not going with you. And you realize, if you are a Christian, there is always a sense in which God's presence is with us. But that sound, that voice in our ear of right doing can become more faint. And it always does when we say, you know what, I choose my own path. I think I've got better plans. I think I know better for myself what I need to do. And they not only were barred from blessing, but we see that they isolated themselves from God's presence. Verse 42 and 43, they became numb to the warning of God. And Moses is in verse 42 here. He's still pleading with them. He says, listen, would you please just do the right thing here? I don't know how to spell it out anymore. If you go up, bad things are going to happen. And you know, that's always the way that God works. And he gives warnings after warnings. Last of all, they became subject to the consequences of their own choices. Verse 45, then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. These people lost their lives ultimately because they chose to just keep going after what they wanted to do and refuse all the different layers of what God was asking of them. Like I said, this is a systematic approach to following the will of God that you can literally find in every book of the Bible. But it starts with a desire, a abandoned desire to just, Lord, I'm clinging to you. Lord, show me what you want me to do. Lord, I will do what you want me to do. And knowing what he said, the commandments, the authority, following his leading, and then being able to just watch as you take those steps as he adds his blessing, his protection, and his prosperity as you go forward. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. We're a little bit long on time, but as always, I want to give a chance to open the altar and give us a response time and some time to think and pray about what the Lord has been speaking to us this evening. And like I said, if this is not a message that you look at, you say, Brother Scott, I'm not sure where this fits in my life right now. I promise you that you're going to need a reminder that charts out following the will of God. And, you know, it may not be that someone in here tonight just says, I'm opposed to doing what God wants me to do. I don't necessarily think we have people in this room this evening who would be in that category. But if anything else, can I just challenge you this evening to just keep yourself open to what God wants you to do. And allow the Word of God to direct you. Allow the system that He has put in place and supernaturally designed to take root in your life. Because I'm telling you, it works. And you'll never be sorry. And the results are just out of this world. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our invitation time. And Lord, you've got such great plans for these teenagers. And Father, I know that there are many hearts in this room who are tender. And Lord, who have availed themselves to what you want to accomplish in their lives. I pray, God, that they would pursue your will daily. And Lord, they would not neglect what you say, Lord, or the authority structure you have put in their lives. Lord, bless our invitation time. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, we'll now open the altar as we always do, and you're welcome to come and pray. You're welcome to stay in your seat, however you please, but I hope that you do have a heart like Joshua and Caleb. I hope that when you see people who choose their own path, it bothers you just a little bit because you feel so strongly about following the Lord. What's more important to you tonight? What you want to do or what God would have you do? We've got some seniors in this room tonight who know, think a lot about the future. Are you trusting the Lord for that? For some of our younger ones this evening, it's never too early to start thinking about God's will. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would cement these things on our mind. Lord, we wouldn't forget them. And Father, that we'd be encouraged by the stand that Caleb and Joshua took. Lord, such great testimony from them. Lord, they stood against just about everybody. I pray, God, that, Lord, we would be people like that. Lord, we'd just be so desperate to know your will that we would seek you daily. We love you and ask these things in your name. Amen.